Hello, welcome to Love Letters Live. This is Janet Gallen, and today's guest is so much fun, I don't even know where to start, Flash Hopkins. And I think I was one of the few people in the world who did not know that he was one of the founders of Burning Man. And I saw something else the other day. Was that Defenestration your work?
Yes, it was. I worked on it with several artists, yeah.
I used to take people and drive by there just to see all that furniture hanging up. I was so sad when they took it down.
Yeah, it was really
okay,
sad.
Okay, let's go to you.
We were lucky that we got it in the first place. It was a collaboration between Governor Brown at the time.
Oh, really?
And... yeah, and not Jerry.
Yes, the old one.
Yeah, the old one.
Right.
Yeah, and Patel, and they didn't know what to do with the building, and they at the time it was a historical landmark. I think maybe Elvis slept there or something. I'm not sure, Janet. But for some reason it was historical, and now it's not. So they took it down. But at the time they didn't know what to do with it. And so they hired us. There was like several of us that they said, you know, come up with a proposal because we want you to do something with it. And so that's what we did. We did Defenestration where, you know.
Where all the furniture was hanging out.
Hanging out and leaping out of windows.
Yeah. And it looked a little dangerous, but apparently it never was.
No, because there were city engineers in there.
Oh, who put that
out?
No,
they were there for everything we did. In fact, that ottoman that was coming off the roof, that's held on by, or was held on by a huge I-beam that went halfway through the building.
Oh, okay. You would think.
You know, if earthquake happened, the ottoman would still be up there.
Good to know. Good to know. All right, let's start a little bit sooner with you.
Sure.
You can start wherever you want in your life, but talk about, because I think Burning Man is the most visible and interesting thing that has taken the world over. What made you take part in that in the first place?
I didn't just take part in it. I was there the very first did that. Yeah.
Yes.
And it was because my friend Larry Harvey, he had broken up with his girlfriend, wife, and it was because of that that we brought it down to the beach. Actually, Burning Man has never been a man. I don't want to shock the world on this one, but it was a woman, and her name is Patricia.
Yes, yes. And by the way, this year's woman was gorgeous.
It didn't work the way it was supposed to.
What was your vision, you and Larry Harvey? What did you want? Just an artistic
installation? Was a joke.
Oh, it was a joke?
Yeah, it was a total joke. It was supposed to be his ex-wife.
No, I understood that part.
So we did it to pull it down, just so he could purge himself from all of his, you know, angst, I suppose, right? But it took on a whole nother meaning after that. It really did. I mean, it's
because it must have spoken to others in some other way about having the art burned at the end and leaving no trace or what.
It's not only that. I think what it is people want something larger than themselves. They want to be part of something. And when the government has let you down...
That explains countries and churches.
I'm sorry?
That explains countries and churches.
Of course, it does. Exactly. So what happens is once the country lets you down, and your religion lets you down, and your friends let you down, you look for something. And we just struck a nerve,
I think,
where, you know, people, they wanted that. It's a really community-oriented.
Oh, I know. But what's the thing? Well, I have friends who go every year. What is it they want, in your view?
Oh, they must want dust. And a lot of it, Janet, not just a little. She must want dust. And, you know, I've always been amazed at how many people show up. And every year there's more. I mean, last year we had 87,000 people. So I went around asking people, what's the attraction? And you get the strangest answers, you know. And believe it or not, the first three aren't even art. Which, it's an art festival, you know? The first one, and I asked a group of elderly gentlemen, and I'll say they're elderly because I'm 66, so I think they were at least my age or older. And I said, so what's your attraction, you know? And they were standing there with their dockers. They would stand there with their dockers on and everything. And one guy said, well, it's the girls.
Yes.
And I looked at him, I said, what about the art? He goes, oh, well, that too.
I think a lot of the guys go for the girls.
I think that, yeah. But you know, it's a fallacy when the wind's blowing, and it blows a lot out there, and the dust is blowing out there. Everybody looks the same.
Oh,
okay?
Gray. Yes.
Gray,
yes.
And dusty, and you know, you might start out feeling like you're very attractive, but by the end of the day, you're pretty dusty.
And maybe you don't care.
You don't care at that point, and then inhibitions let them fly, you know, that kind of thing. So, but it's amazing how people, and the other thing too is what gets built out there. I think there's a...
What does get built?
Yeah. When you know, you see some of the big, larger stuff, the temples, for example, which this past year was just amazing. We've begun to ask people to use as much recycled material as they possibly can when they're building. And this year, that temple...
They bring their own.
Oh, everybody brings everything in, mm-hmm. and everybody takes everything out. Mm-hmm. And not everything gets burnt anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think there's another thing where everybody thinks that everything gets burnt. Well, that's not true.
Either burnt or taken away.
What isn't burnt has to be taken away, mm-hmm. yeah. So there's a lot out there that has to be taken away. And one of the amazing facts, bicycles are one of the things that people will leave behind.
Why?
Because once it's been out to Burning Man, and then you try to pack it and get out of there, because everybody wants to get out. At the beginning of the week, it's all love. Everybody's in love. You know, oh my God, you're my brother, you're my sister, oh, I love you, oh, it's good to be home again. But one thing, it's not your home. Ants don't live out here, okay? So it's not really your home. And then by the end of the week, they just want to get the heck out of there, okay? So they're packing up, and on the way in, you'll see people, when they're pulling in, everything's tight. You know, they're all packed and very, very organized. On the way out, Janet...
Things are flying
off. No, they're flying off all over the place. And one of the things you leave behind is a bicycle.
Uh-huh.
And last year, over 30,000 bicycles were left.
The numbers here are so hard to...
Yeah, to fathom.
So what do you do then with 30,000 bicycles? You donate them to somebody?
We donate them.
Oh,
yeah, they
nice.
Go all over the place. There's people that pick them up and actually bring them into Central and South America.
My goodness.
And then a lot of them go to, like, the thrift stores or the, you know, the, would be more like...
To benefit somebody.
Yeah, they benefit somebody. They get taken, you know. But at the same time, they'll say, hey, do you need a bicycle? It's like, well, not 30,000.
Yes, you know? Right. Exactly. So, now, what do you do to prepare for this? What do you do to set this up? Word goes out. People buy tickets. You've got a lot to do.
Yeah,
It's a huge business, essentially.
It's a massive business. I mean, we build a city. It's the third largest city in Nevada for 1 week. So, I mean, I'm out there for over 3 months.
Prior
to the gates opening. By the time the gates open, I'm the happiest guy in the world because it's over.
Yes.
It's like, I'm excited because, like, 1 week, that's it. It's done, and I can start packing.
Oh, so you're closer to freedom
out.
Yourself.
Yeah, closer to freedom.
Interesting.
But them, they're like, we're finally here. And for me, it's like, we're finally done.
Right. You just have to wait another 7 days. How long does it last?
A week.
Yeah.
But, you know, actually, you say a week, but... just to get out of there, because there's only one way in and one way out.
Oh, sure. That, by the way, that's the case for many events, which is why I don't go to them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's one thing when you're going to something in an arena or a rock festival or a music festival. Well, music fest, I go to those. But,
right.
You know, people dribble in over time to get in, so it's not so awful. But then suddenly, 2,000 people want to leave at the same time.
80,000.
I understand that. I've never been
there,
so I can only imagine.
It is a nightmare. And I try to talk to people and say, listen, you don't even try to get out on Sunday. Forget Monday. Wait till Tuesday. But a lot of them have jobs, and they're like, I can't.
Oh, but they can leave a day early.
And they can leave a day early. They can leave on Saturday.
They can leave 4 days early. But
yeah, 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 and then they miss it all. You know, that's what they came for, was the burning of the man and all that. So, and the burning of the temple. So you try to tell people you're not going to get out, and they'll, you know, reluctantly, they'll sit there for 8 to 10 hours to just get out to the main highway. And then the journey begins, because there's only, again, one way out, not just out of the Playa itself. But then
they want to come back. So apparently that's worth
they
it.
Do.
Yes.
I think their memories are short.
That I think that is... possibly true. It's like having babies. You know, you don't remember the pain. You remember the... Right. There's kind of a natural amnesiac that takes over.
That's really funny. I never thought of it like that, but you're probably
right.
Why
would anybody want to have a second child?
I wouldn't know. I've never had one.
That's right. Ask around. You know, it's amazing that women do.
How many children have you had?
Two.
That was enough, huh?
Well, I would have liked more, but it wasn't responsible to have more. I actually wanted to have a third. And my mother said to me, "What is the matter with you? You've got two beautiful, beautiful, smart, sweet daughters. You don't know what that third one's going to be. Why don't you just count your blessings and stop? And anyway, having three, don't be a greedy pig."
Well, what a smart mother you
had. She said, "Don't be a greedy pig." To me,
well, I mean, her language might be a little up, but she...
I haven't thought about that in ages.
By the way, I would love to give a shout out to Meredith May.
Who, oh, please.
Hello, Meredith. I hope you're listening this morning. I miss you. I love you. And I haven't talked to you in so long, I'm embarrassed by it. So I'm going to give you a call.
Oh, good.
Right after I leave Janet today. Yeah, she's a doll. Well, she did an article on me many years ago about Burning Man.
I read it.
Yeah.
The first thing I did is I went to look for you. And I saw that there was an article by Meredith, and since we're friends, because she had done one about me ages ago, I read it, and then I called her. Yes. Okay, so what's now with you?
Well, the latest thing I'm on right now
is... And this is in between, because you still have to go back 3 months prior to Burning Man and start that again.
Oh, yeah.
So this is in your...
But in the meantime, I'm doing a play here in the city. No, not myself.
Oh, okay.
It was Pam Holmes, and I know her very... She'd be wonderful to interview at some point. In fact, I'd love to send her over here one of these days.
Good.
She has written several books. One of them, and I've been in two of them actually, a character in two of them. One of them was called "The Toast Is Broke, So Let's Get Married," which was it's a really funny book. It's a very funny book. Anyway, she wrote this. She was in between writing another book. When as a writer, I guess you do get a little crazed where you have to stop looking at what you're writing.
Oh, yes. Writing is one, or knowing when to stop is the other.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. So she, in the meantime, in between two books, she decided to write a play. And she did this play about 8 years ago.
Really?
And I went to see it because I know her. Mm-hmm. And I just loved it.
Can you say what the thrust of it is without getting too
yes,
much?
I can.
Okay.
It's called Lovesick, the Cat Allergy Musical. Okay. And by the way, folks, I sing in this.
Oh, good.
And I have never attempted before. You know the thing about doing something different? Sometimes you really want to get out of that box.
Yes.
And the more you do it, the better you are. And so first I went for the audition. Mm-hmm. And she said, "Well, you know, Flash, you're going to have to sing." And I'm like, "I'll give that a shot." I listen to Frank Sinatra all day long.
But that kind of defines you anyway, doing something you've never done.
Absolutely. And I'm just loving it. In fact, I've dedicated the last 2 months, and it's going to start at the end of this month. It starts in February, end of February. I dedicated the last 2 months to just doing this. Stop everything else. No phone calls. Thank you.
Is it two acts?
No, it's two acts.
Mm-hmm.
And what it is there's a single woman who inherited this cat when she moved into the apartment. Okay, and the cat is played by Stefanos X, who's just a great actor, wonderful voice. In fact, he does Tom Jonesing. I don't know if you've seen him. He plays around here. He does a Tom Jones act.
No, but I'm going to look.
Oh, he's excellent. He's excellent. And handsome and really great. Anyway, I saw it that many years ago, and I said, "I love this play. I just loved it. I thought it was brilliant." Okay? And so when the opportunity came up to do it, I said, "You know what? You know what? I'm going to take a shot at this. Whether I can do it or not, I don't know, but I'm going to take a shot at it." So I was really happy that I got the part. And I do sing. And so it's about a woman who inherits this cat. And the cat blocks her at every move when it comes to getting a date because he's afraid he's going to get thrown out, okay? So what happens is
The whole thing is about her dates that come in, and the cat just drives them all insane. One of them's allergic to cats and does this sneezing thing. And it's hilarious.
If you've seen, now, it's opening when in San Francisco?
It's going to open. It's at the Exit Theater, and it's on the 24th and 25th it starts of February.
And how long will it run?
And then it runs through March every weekend until the 18th.
Wonderful. Okay, so now where is this Exit Theater?
The Exit Theater is on 156 Eddy Street, which is not too far from here, right? It's just up the street.
That's like near Van
Ness. A little more Van Ness.
Right,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, so it's at the Exit Theater, and it's going to be a wonderful play. If anyone's seen, you know, did you see Avenue Q?
Yes.
I personally think, and Avenue Q went everywhere.
I saw it here.
I saw it in Las Vegas, so it went to go. It went everywhere. I think this play is so much better than that. I really, really enjoy this play. What's that?
Yeah.
You agree? You haven't even seen it yet? Good.
Yeah.
Janet's giving me a nod here saying, yes, I believe you already.
Yes,
so, yeah. So, I just love it, and it's hilarious. All original songs.
That she wrote?
And, she wrote, and this other guy, Jim, who's like the director.
Mm-hmm.
They both wrote the songs, but she wrote the whole play. And it is hilarious. I won't give it all away.
No.
Although,
right.
I will tell you, I play the mafia.
Okay.
So when you were telling me about those guys, off air, you were telling me about those guys, you were like, yes, I actually play a mafia hitman.
Who's one of her dates?
Let me put it this way. Yes, in the long run.
In the long run,
in a strange way.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm eager to see it.
It's a good one. It's really good. We've been practicing, and I love the cast. It's just so much fun. So much fun. And it's, for me, it's good because I am occupied with Burning Man a good part of my life during the year, you know? And so for me to get out and do something else, you know, I also do very large-scale public art. We just finished a Julia Morgan building over in Berkeley. It's at the Julia Morgan Life Center.
What street
Health
is
Center.
That on?
It's on 7th and Addison.
Oh, I don't know that one. Okay, I know a different
one.
Beautiful.
Yeah. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Or maybe it's 6th and
Addison. That's okay.
It's around there somewhere in Berkeley. And that was such a privilege to do that. I mean, because Julia Morgan, in fact, if anyone doesn't know who she is out there, she was the architect and the engineer for the Hearst Castle, amongst many other things. She was a woman in her 30s, in the 1930s that was... just got every accolade there was in a man's world. She was definitely in a man's world.
You know, there's so much talk about in a man's world, in a man's world. But once you start looking, there were so many women in it. They're just coming to light now.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
But that whole business of a man's world, there's a lot of truth, but there's also a lot of urban mythology around that, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know growing up, it was a man's world, but all our family friends, the women were doctors and psychiatrists and lawyers and writers and directors and actors.
I think it's because it wasn't typical, though.
Well, maybe it wasn't, depending on...
Yeah. By the way, have you ever heard James Brown singing It's a Man's World?
Yes.
Okay. Have you ever heard Pavarotti and James Brown singing?
No.
You've got to look it up. If you really want to hear the most beautiful operatic song, it's Pavarotti and James Brown singing together.
You know, I have a feeling about a lot of that music when you say it's operatic beauty. That is often a matter of just who's singing it. With what coloration?
It's true.
You know, what vocal coloration? You hear a lot of songs
that,
in the right mouth, would be something different. Or
right.
In the right mouth.
Right.
Yes.
It's so funny that you like hip-hop, and I'm listening to Frank Sinatra. Yeah. I really like that about you.
I do like it. You know, I like because I like a lot of motion in my music. Yes, Drake. Just fabulous.
Yeah, I think that's so hilarious. You know more about Drake than I do, right? And that's... Daughters, were they into hip-hop?
No, they're older than that.
They're older than
hip-hop, much, yes. I remember when my daughter, when she was 10,
yes.
Oh, my goodness, knife in my heart, she said, I made a reference to the Beatles. And she said, oh, she said, yes. Now, this was in 1977.
Okay.
You wouldn't think, you know. She said, oh, the Beatles. She said, oh, yes, I know them. They're that old-fashioned group.
No.
Hold on. Just in case you ever want to know how quickly the new turns primitive.
Yeah.
Is it true? In a flash,
it turns. Yes. It turns. Yeah. That old man. And they were still young then. Well, you know. So.
People are fickle.
That's what
gives us some progress, on the other hand.
Yeah.
You know. And we have more of it now. You don't take part in the internet. You don't live.
No.
Go ahead, say why.
I personally don't find the time for it. I'm really busy.
Good point.
And people have become so addicted to the internet and to Facebook and all that stuff. And it. You know, it's this mass sort of mind that goes on in there. And if you ever want to think outside the box or do whatever you want to do, the internet can give you a hint. But if you're going to stay on there all day long, you're not going to get anything done. And I see a lot of people just spend their whole day. And then their whole lives are ruined by something somebody said on Facebook. Well, give up Facebook.
Yes.
I mean, people are going to say things about you no matter what.
Well, you're talking about that cyberbullying kind of stuff.
Everything, you know. I mean, everything. You know, even artists are saying, you know, somebody called me up just recently and said, Flash, you got to get on the Facebook and tell them what, you know, how that piece was made and how beautiful it was and everything. Because too many people are complaining about it. And I'm like, just get off Facebook.
First of all, anything on Facebook disappears very quickly because there's a constant scroll away.
Uh-huh.
You know, I had somebody once send me a party invitation on Facebook and then wonder why I wasn't there or hadn't responded. I know people, yes, that gets a little.
Yeah, it's too much.
But
it's
it is nice for finding old friends every once in a while, you know?
Or them finding you when you don't want to see them.
Yes, but, you know, you do have the satisfaction of being able to say hello.
Yes.
And I hope things are good. And that's, with some people, that's enough of a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
There's not time to see everybody.
Yeah. Right. Yeah,
but when you say you don't have time for it, I pay all my bills online.
See, I don't do that either.
It's so much faster to write a check and stick it in an envelope when you get right down to it.
I still write letters.
Let's talk about that because that's why I'm here.
I love it. In fact, it really puts people aback when you write a letter to them. They're like, they'll call me up and say, I got a letter from you.
You want to say, I know, I sent it.
And they're like stunned and they love it because let's face it.
So what
do you receive in the mail nowadays?
Crap.
It's nothing but junk.
That's right.
So when you receive a letter, it's like a gift.
Oh, see, that's what I said. Well, it is a gift. Custom designed for one person on this planet. Also, when you see that pile of garbage that we now call the mail, and you see somebody's handwriting.
That's right.
It's like a bag of diamonds sitting there.
It's true.
Why do you think people are so taken by it? Because they are. My children send thank you notes and people call me like I've invented...
Good children.
Yeah.
Like you invented good children. Yeah. I do it. I found that you get more of a response from people. And I did this... I started doing this actually when I had to deal with the Bureau of Land Management, the BLM, for Burning Man. And I remember the time I was still writing letters, but then I really got into it after I realized what a shock it was for people. They'd call me up and they said, okay, now you got to send this all this stuff in by email. And I said, well, I don't do email. And they said, well, how do you, Facebook? I said, no. I said, but, you know, you can send me it through the mail. And
I require that myself. Because you know why? Because then you got to print it. You got to do all the work.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So I can hear him on the phone. He's like, you mean snail mail? And I said, well, yeah, I guess that's what you would call it, snail mail. And then he's talking to himself and saying, well, I don't even know if we have any envelopes around here. Hey, have we got any stamps here? And so it threw him really off, all right? So the next thing I know, it's like it was the biggest joke to them because they actually have to get an envelope, get a stamp, and then I write them back. with my letters. And it's turned out that they actually love it. Now, I have a better rapport with the BLM than most people.
Sure.
It's because they'll come up to me and go, "You're the guy that writes the letters to us." And I said, yeah. You know, because I'm running a business, but it doesn't matter. It's like if the art is gone. People don't realize what an art it was to write a letter.
I've heard that all my, well, not all my life, but, you know, a lot. And I used to say that also, lost art of letter writing. Mm-hmm. Turns out, I realized it's not a lost art at all. It's just in the hands of fewer of us.
Right.
And fewer of us who are doing it by choice.
Mm-hmm.
So, kind of more of an art, really.
Yeah, and I still go and ask for the pretty stamps, too.
Oh, I do, too. I
refuse to put on ugly stamps. I want pretty stamps.
You know, I every once in a while used to buy just, you know, the regular flag ones, and I would save them for bills or government things.
Yeah.
And then I thought, no, I'm not going to do that. They should get a lovely one also. I put stickers on.
Do you really?
Yes, I just festooned that thing.
Now, did you come to the age?
Yes.
Oh, you did?
Yes, but I didn't see you there.
Oh, well, I was Santa Claus.
I saw that. Barbara told me that afterwards. Yes.
That was wonderful.
That was really wonderful.
Was. Yeah.
So we could make a shout out to the Age March. Barbara Rose Brooker.
Yes. Hello, Barbara. Good morning.
She got sick of being told no for jobs. You know, she'd get an okay on the phone and show up, and they'd look at her and say, "Oh, no, that's been filled." And there are people who are being let go at the age of 40 for hiring younger people. So on this particular walk to protest this, you know, attitude, and not just attitude, but this phenomenon of firing people so you can hire younger ones, I guess at lower wages.
Sure. It would have to be, yeah.
So we were walking, and I had brought a lot of those Mardi Gras beads just to give out.
Yeah, I think I got one from
you.
I'm sure you did.
You got one from somebody.
Okay.
And so I saw three young women standing in a doorway, and I went up to them and I said, "Oh, it looks like nobody's offered you any beads. Would you like, well, for a 22-cent string of beads?" They went nuts. They were so happy. And one of them said, "What is this about?" And I said, "You know, this is just to make people aware that there are people being fired from jobs because they're 40 and companies want to hire younger people, and how awful that is, really." And this one beautiful young woman said, "Well, I'm one of the younger people they're hiring." And I said, "Now." And she said, "Ooh."
It's right. It's
you know,
only a matter of
days
time.
Are numbered.
Time marches on,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And Barbara is so young. She's like, I think she's 80. Is she? My God. That's the youngest 80-year-old I have ever met.
Well, and then, you know, even
the energy level is incredible.
Yes. And even the phrases, "Oh, you look really good for 80.
She does.
Well,
am I not supposed to say that, okay. Janet? I'm sorry. Because she looks great.
But she looks great, period.
She does.
You know,
I mean,
that's kind of her point. Or, you know, people who have birthday parties and the people are around saying, "And she's 90 years young." I don't know.
I don't know. I think if you can hang in there, if you're 80. Well, I'm 66, and people say, "Oh, but you're a young 66. No, I'm 66. I feel it every day, okay?
But when I'm in there. My point is, it really doesn't matter.
Right.
It really doesn't matter.
Right.
You know, it doesn't matter to you.
It doesn't matter. I mean, to a lot of people, it doesn't. I've never been in a position where I was let go or anything like that because of age. I live a whole nother different lifestyle.
Yeah, I haven't faced that either.
Yeah, probably because you're independent and you're doing things that don't require you going in and filling out a job application.
When I did, I was young.
Yeah, I was young too. I haven't done one of those in so long.
I only did once, and I was very young. I was a probation officer. But there were people of all ages working there. You know, so I don't think it mattered.
My goodness.
I don't know if you had to retire at a certain age. I don't know. Anyway.
Were you a probation officer here in the city?
Oakland.
Yes, ma'am. Did you enjoy it?
Yes, I did.
You did?
I love my kids.
Oh,
yeah.
Good.
Juvenile.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. There should be more of like older people who are doing that kind of thing.
Well, I was a younger person doing that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I was 21.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But older people can tell kids like what's going to happen in the future, whereas at 21, you're not so sure yourself. Isn't that true?
It turns out you can't tell people anything.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot about that.
No, you're right. You're right, Janet. That's true.
Yes. But you can help people realize things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I once said something to a friend of mine, and it was kind of off the deep end and a little insane. And she looked at me very sweetly. She said, "Oh, it must seem that way." It was so talented of her. And I realized, delusional moment. You know, she couldn't have done it better.
Right, right.
Anyway, okay, right. So we're kind of far off.
Oh, we're off. Where are we going anyway?
This
is so much fun. This is so much fun.
So I do want to say, I'm going to repeat what I said to you on the phone after a 10-minute conversation, was I have yet to figure out why it feels like I've known you all my life. I listen to you and I can hear that colonial accent. I can hear a it's not Boston, but it's
Rhode
close
Island.
By. It's Rhode Island, yes. And I know that accent. So why don't you just say, if you feel like it for a minute, what you have in Rhode Island? Because I have family there also, but your family was different.
Oh, in my family were the first tavern owners in North America. It was the White Horse Tavern, Newport, Rhode Island. And my forefathers signed the Declaration of Independence for Rhode Island. That would have been Stephen Tucker Hopkins.
I looked that up after you said that.
Yeah. So he signed the Declaration of Independence. So my family goes way back.
And your family goes way back in an out-of-the-box kind of a way.
Oh, yeah.
That DNA.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really true.
And acting on it.
That's really
it's not
true.
Foreign to you.
Yeah, yeah. I would have to say my family is very
typical.
I've got
a love letter thought. I don't like to be the love letter. Please,
no, go ahead.
I like historical ones. A love letter to this ancestor. Yes. To this ancestor.
Oh, so I should write one?
Yes, you should write, dear, what would you call him?
Well, Isaac and Stephen. Isaac was the pirate, and he opened up the bar. Stephen was the politician.
I would write one to each.
Isaac.
Okay. I would write one to each, expressing whatever it is you want about. See, you're grinning like that, so I know that you're thinking something. And then mail it to yourself.
Oh, that's really funny.
And, I don't know, leave it unopened. And long after you're gone, maybe somebody will find. Or send it. Write it to them and send it to the City Hall for the archives.
Uh-huh. It actually has the Hopkins Museum up on the east side of Providence.
Well, perfect. So, dear, what's his first name again?
Isaac.
Dear Isaac, I'm writing this to you, but I'm sending it to the museum because I figure somehow you'll feel it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he does. And all your family memories, and then send it.
I think he does because I early got into politics and running bars, so I followed in his footsteps. It's in the bloodline.
You should do that. That would be a great historical letter for them to have.
Yeah, it's in the bloodline. I'm into both of those.
Good.
In fact, I used to bartend down here at Schultz and Dooley's. Do you remember it?
No, I don't.
A million years ago on Kearney Street. It was one of the only bars on Kearney Street.
I didn't know much about bars. I only recently discovered the happy hour because I have a couple of friends and we're busy all day and we're busy at night, but there's that 5 to 6 slot.
Well, you're up just free, above Lefty O'Doul's here, you know.
I go there for turkey sandwiches.
Oh, of course.
I'm not much of a drinker, but a happy, just an hour with a friend and a glass of wine. And then, you finish. Anyway, it's a wonderful
it's a
little slot in the day. Yeah.
It's a great thing.
Oh, I want to thank you.
You always want to take at least an hour out of your day for you and somebody that you just want to sit down and talk to.
Can I count this?
Absolutely. Of course, we don't have wine because it's too early in the morning.
Right.
But, I mean, you know. But, yeah, and you can count this. Yeah.
I do. Thank you, dear. Well, I hope we'll just run into each other and see each other a lot forever because we're young yet.
We are young.
And I'm going to be at this play. Thank you so much. Just say it again. It's called Lovesick.
It's called Lovesick. And for all you love letter fans out there, for Janet and her love letter fans, it's called Lovesick, the Cat Allergy Musical. Now, there is another play.
At the Exit Theater.
At the Exit Theater.
San Francisco. And people can go online and look it up and get tickets?
Absolutely.
Okay, even though you don't do that, they can.
They can.
Good.
And it's called the Cat Allergy Musical. And the reason I'm being very expressive about that, because ironically, there's another play on right now in Berkeley called Lovesick.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
But it's not anything
not
like
your
the
Lovesick.
One. Not, no, it's not.
Okay.
And this one's a comedy. That one is not.
Okay. So pay attention to this one for now. Thank you. Okay. I look forward to whatever's next for us, dear.
Oh, I hope I'm able to come back again with more stories for you.
Yes. Just tell me when you have a little time, that slot that we can sit and talk.
Okay.
Wine free.
Wine free.
Later
okay.
With a glass of wine. Okay.
Oh, it's splendid.
Thank you, honey. This is just
oh, well, this
too
has
wonderful.
Been wonderful. Thank you so much, Janet.
Until next time, this is Janet Gallen saying goodbye. And
Flash Hopkins.
See you soon, right?
See you very soon. See you at the play.
Perfect.
One should always go to the theater.